Stand by for Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. I am your host, and I am so glad that you join us this morning. Today's special guest is a young man out of Washington. His name is Tristan Wood. You came all the way down from Washington this morning. Boy, you must have gotten up at what, the crack of dawn?
Pretty early. Yeah. It's about a four-hour drive. So.
Is that what it is? Whereabouts in Washington are you from?
Auburn, Washington. It's near Seattle.
Up above Seattle or below Seattle?
It's below.
Okay, so you didn't have to go through the Seattle traffic.
No.
That's amazing, isn't it? Traffic up there.
It is. It's crazy for sure.
Seattle's one of my favorite towns. I love going up to Seattle there, but boy, I don't like messing with that traffic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Tristan, how old are you?
I am 20 years old.
20 years old. You know I got dirty socks older than that?
Oh, really?
But I won't show you. Don't ask to see them, but believe me. You are a performer, and what do? You sing? You dance? What do you do?
Yeah, I sing. I'm a singer-songwriter. I also play guitar and some other instruments as well.
Okay. How long have you been doing that?
I started playing guitar when I was about 11 years old.
What made you get into guitar?
Actually, I played the old Guitar Hero game. And
wait, slow down. I'm old.
I played the old Guitar Hero game.
What was that?
Xbox and the Wii. it was like a guitar simulator.
Video game.
It was a video game. Yeah. And
So are you playing one or are you playing the air guitar? Because I'm great on the air guitar.
No, it's like there's buttons, like it's like a controller.
Okay.
It's shaped like a guitar.
Okay.
And basically, I started playing that and got really good at it. And I kind of actually got me into music. And so I decided I really wanted to take up the real guitar. And so,
how old were you at that point?
I was about 11 years old.
Okay, and so you're playing with this video game, mm-hmm. and you're realizing, you know, I'm not so bad at doing this.
Yeah, with the controller.
With the controller. How does the controller work? What is it? Does it basically tell you what to do?
Oh, well, there's like light up buttons, and then you just kind of like press the buttons when it comes.
So when the light comes on, you hit the button.
Basically,
and you sound good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Much easier than the real guitar, for sure. Yeah.
So after a while of playing the fake guitar, you decided, well, I'm pretty good. I'm going to try the real thing, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So you got yourself a real guitar, an acoustic or an electric?
The first guitar I ever got was a tiny little acoustic guitar. It wasn't actually a full-size guitar.
Like a ukulele?
Well, it wasn't a ukulele. It wasn't that small, but it was like smaller than the average. It was like only a 20 fret guitar, which now they make them that small, but back then
it was only a 20 what?
It's only a 20 fret guitar.
What's that mean?
19 or 20 frets. The frets are like the segments of the guitar neck. So when you play a different fret, it plays a different note. So basically, it was just a miniature guitar.
Now, Tristan, start talking English here, okay? Remember, I'm old. All right. So it's not quite a big guitar, but a beginner guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like a little child's guitar.
Okay. How long did you play that?
So I played that for a few years. I got that guitar because my mom was like, we're not getting you a guitar. I tried to get you to play piano, and you didn't want to play piano, and I was determined to get a guitar, so I got that guitar, and I started playing that for about 2 years, and then I kind of graduated to a bigger full-size guitar.
So did you take guitar lessons or did you teach yourself or how did you learn? Because playing a guitar is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a number on your fingers, doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah, it takes some time to get the calluses. It definitely hurts at first. It's worth it if you stick with it. I actually learned from a friend that was older than me.
And he would teach you how to play the different,
mm-hmm. the different
now,
chords.
Were you reading music or were you just going by sound?
We would do chord charts. So yeah, we were reading it and we were also kind of going by ear. It was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you do that?
I did guitar lessons with him for about 2 or 3 years. And
oh,
then
really?
Mm-hmm.
And how often would you practice?
Probably an hour and a half a day, a couple hours.
So you were pretty serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then you got into it and you thought, okay, now I'm ready. Do you play an electric guitar now or what do you play?
Yeah, now I play an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. I have a nicer acoustic guitar now. And then I just got a new electric guitar. And so I play both now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is your mom thinking, well, you know what? Maybe he's going to stick with this stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she is.
All right. You've been doing that since you were 10 years old. For about 10 years now. How did you get into songwriting and singing, or did you get into singing first and then songwriting?
I got into songwriting first. I started playing the electric guitar, and I really wanted to play like 80s rock guitar solos and like stuff like that. So I started out, you know, like listening to that kind of music, and then I started listening to more like alternative rock, and then I started writing songs. And then as a result of that, I actually started singing because I thought I really want to be able to like be the one to sing the songs, you know, instead of writing songs for other people, I guess.
So when you started to write a song, how do you sit down and write a song? What are you thinking? What's going through your mind when you sit there and go, I need to write a song? Or are you just driving along and all of a sudden, hey, I like what I'm hearing or I like what I see and it comes to my mind? How do you write a song?
Well, oftentimes it'll be just be something where I'll be sitting down, doing whatever, and I'll just get an idea in my head on guitar and I'll just go up and record it. I use voice memos on my phone. A lot of artists use voice memos. So I just set the phone down and record the idea, and then sometimes I'll come back to it. Sometimes I'll get some words. Sometimes it starts with words. Sometimes I'll have like a lyric that'll just be reoccurring in my head and kind of like an idea of where I want to take it. And then I'll take that to the guitar and be like, how can I put this to a melody, put this to a rhythm?
Do you write about things going on in your life, or do you just, I don't know, fantasize and write about something else?
Yeah, I like to write songs about hope. I like to write songs that hopefully people can relate to.
About hope?
Yeah.
Hope in your eyes or hope in somebody else's eyes?
Basically, the hope just to let people know that they're not alone. You know, if you're going through a tough situation, there is hope, and, you know, there's people that have gone through that situation also.
How long does it take you to write a song? Are you going to write a song about your radio interview?
Oh, maybe.
You're at KSLM?
I'll be sure to send it to you if
you
I do.
You better send it to me because I want royalty checks out of that one.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to write a song?
It could take a long time or a short period of time. One song that I did, I wrote the chorus one day, and I was like, I just couldn't find a verse to it. I couldn't find a verse for a really long time. So it ended up being a few months of me kind of like sitting down, not straight, not every day, you know, but like, you know, I'd come back to it every once in a while and just be like, not quite know what to put to it. So that one took a bit. And then I've had times where I've been in the studio with producers, and they've we've banged one out in one day. So
seriously?
Yeah.
How do you know when it's time to wrap it up with the song? You're writing this song, and you the song maybe go 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever it is. How do you know when it's time to end the song? Does it just feel right to you to end it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that once I have said what I want to say, I guess, with the song, I feel like it's a good point to end it. You know, obviously you want to have a good structure. You want to have a verse and a chorus and a verse two and then a bridge. I really want to, you know, say what I want to say. And then once I felt like I've done that, then.
Do you ever write songs about people? Past relationships or friends or just about people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you like the male Taylor Swift?
I don't think so. I did write a song for my brother because he passed away of cancer about a year mm-hmm. and a half ago. So I did write a song for him. I don't typically write songs for people, though, but yeah.
Did the song that you wrote for your brother, did you finish that before or after he passed?
After.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry that he passed, by the way.
That's okay.
Was it a hard one to write?
It was. Yeah, it was definitely hard. It was hard to, like, I've written a few songs for him, but we've only recorded one of them, and that's why that one's actually on iTunes now and stuff. But it was definitely tough to, like, put my thoughts onto paper because I have so many different thoughts and mm-hmm. stuff and different things I wanted to say, and, you know, so.
Did you get it all out? Did you say it all?
I feel like I said what I wanted to say with that song.
Is that song available anyplace?
Yeah, it's on Spotify and iTunes. It's called What You Need.
What You Need?
Yeah.
Okay. If we get a chance, maybe we can put that on here a little bit later on there. Who inspires you, besides radio disc jockeys from Salem, Oregon? Who actually inspires you?
Oh, man, I love all styles of music. One of my favorite bands is Switchfoot. They're like an alternative rock band. And then one of my other favorite artists is Ed Sheeran. But like I said before, I started out with like older rock music because I wanted to play guitar solos. And so I like Nirvana. I like bands, you know, from the 80s. And I like newer rock music. And I also love like pop music and even some rap music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of different artists. But I would say like One Republic, Switchfoot, and Ed Sheeran are like some of my top influences.
Why do you like Ed Sheeran so much?
I really like Ed Sheeran because of his musicality. I love that he writes his own songs, and it just seems to flow naturally to him. It's also really cool that he uses a loop station, which is where he can record his guitar live and play it back.
A loop station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell the 63-year-old what a loop station is.
So a loop station is basically it's basically a guitar pedal. It's, you know, like a distortion pedal or something, but it basically records a sound that you take. So you could take your chords, take your basic guitar chords, and play them all the way through, and then you could loop that, and then you can add to it and build from it, and you could build a drum beat with your guitar and all sorts of stuff. So it's a really cool live instrument.
And you do that live on stage?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Have you tried that yet?
Yeah, that's actually what I like to do for my live shows as well. Mm-hmm.
Can you make a mistake doing that live like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some of the venues I've played have been like really loud. And
okay.
So I'll be, because I have a click track, so that I stay on time with my first track, and I won't be able to hear the click track, so it gets a little bit slower or a little bit faster before I stop the recording. So it can get a little off sometimes. Sometimes you can salvage it, sometimes you just have to ditch it and just go acoustic.
Tristan, has it ever occurred to you maybe just get a couple more guys and form a band? Wouldn't that be easier than trying to do this with all this equipment live on stage?
I suppose it might be easier, but...
Try it. Try it. It would be easier.
Yeah. But I like the feel of it. I like the feel that the looper brings, and it's definitely a cool... It gets people interested, for
now,
sure.
Are you telling people in the audience what you're doing? Do they know that you're recording this and you're making this as you're going along?
Yeah, I was... when I was playing some shows here a while back, I wasn't telling people.
Right.
And then my mom and actually a friend were like, you should start telling people what you're doing because I think they'd be more interested in it. And it worked better. So yeah, now I tell people I didn't at first.
Now you perform, you're from Washington. Do you perform up in the Washington area or do you perform all over? You just got off tour recently, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where'd you go on tour?
I did the High School Nation tour and we went to the East Coast. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. And
the High School Nation tour. What is that?
Basically, it's an organization that promotes arts in the schools. And
okay.
We just go to different high schools and basically play music for the kids. Yeah.
Okay, and you were back east with that tour?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where all did you go?
Washington, D.C., we went to North Carolina, we went to...
And these were different high schools you went
Texas,
to?
Texas, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to different high schools, so it's basically 5 high schools a week, so it's 5 days, and then we travel on the weekends.
Okay, so would you go into Dallas, Texas, and spend 5 days in Dallas, and then go somewhere else? Is that how it worked?
It would depend on the week. Sometimes we would be there the entire week, sometimes we'd be in one place, one hotel, and then sometimes we would be moving a lot, like every 2 days.
Okay, now what kind of music are you playing for these high schools?
My original music is what I played, yeah.
How many people are in the show?
It could be anywhere from, you know, less like 30 or 40 to a couple hundred.
In the show?
Oh, in the show.
Performers.
Sorry, performers.
I know you got up early this morning, Tristan. Stay focused with me here, will you?
There's 10 performers generally a week.
Okay.
Yeah, 9 to 10.
And each of you get up there and do what, 15, 20 minutes or so?
Oh, so yeah, I do 15 minutes. And
so how many songs are you knocking out? About 3?
About 3, yeah.
Okay, and then you get off, and then what do? Are you done for the day?
Yeah, well, we'll either go back to our hotel, or we'll travel, or, you know, usually we'll just go get lunch.
Now, do you get to do a meet and greet with the people afterwards?
Yeah, we actually have booths that we... have set up there so people can meet us beforehand or after the shows, and we get to, you know, sign autographs for
you like
them
doing that? The meet and greet? Aren't they great?
Yeah, they're great. I love
that's
I love
when you
it.
Really hear whether your show is good or not are the meet and greets.
Yeah, absolutely.
People will tell you whether the show is good or not during those meet and greets. Now, do you guys have merchandise that you sell too there? And
Yeah, t-shirts and wristbands.
Okay, so how many people are in this the whole tour group, including the crew?
Probably like around 40 people, I would say.
Really, that many?
Yeah.
Now, you told me earlier that you have two stages set up.
Yeah, we have two stages. So it's basically like one will be playing on one side of the football field. It's an outdoor thing. And then one will be playing on the other side. It's really interesting because I didn't think that it would work to have two stages at the same time. Yeah, but it does because the sound, they just have good sound.
And they don't drown each other out?
No, they don't. Yeah.
Amazing. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Tristan Wood is our guest, and we're going to find out. He's got a big tour coming up. We'll be chatting about that a little bit later on, too, as well as his website and Facebook. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are Salem's original radio station, KSLM.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Hi, this is Marianne. Dawn Wells. You know, if I had a radio on that island, you know who I'd be tuned into? Terry Saul.
We're back in 5, 4, cue Terry. 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today's guest from Washington, Tristan Wood. He is 20 years old, a performer, and he's joining us this morning. First of all, thank you for making the trip down here. I know that was, you said a four-hour drive?
Yeah.
Long drive. Now, are you heading back up there when you're done today? Are you going back home?
Yeah, for
okay.
Sure.
Okay. You perform all over the country. We were talking about this tour that you recently did. You went to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you perform in Washington? Different schools there, too?
Different schools there, and then we got to do some sightseeing as well.
What'd you go see?
We went and saw the White House and everything around it.
Did you take the tour of the White House?
We did not. We just kind of walked on the street and
incredible.
Just went in there. And
that tour is incredible. I told you earlier I got thrown out of there because I wiped my finger along the dust in the red room there, and I told the guy, I made a wisecrack, said, you know, it's awful dusty in here, and he goes, get out. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yep. Then we went over to Ford's Theater, where President Lincoln was killed. They give you a tour of it, and you're sitting down there in the seats there. The gal's up on the stage, she's telling you about the incident that happened, and you're looking up at the balcony, and you're just kind of like waiting for it to happen again, where Lincoln was assassinated up there, but it's pretty incredible. Washington, D.C. is a fun place to go. How long were you there?
We were there for a full week.
Oh, did you really?
We weren't actually in D.C. We only went into D.C. one day, but no. We were in the area for 1 week. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to go to the Washington Monument?
We saw it, but we didn't go up to it. Yeah.
It's amazing. We took the elevator ride to the top there. My son was in the 7th grade at the time, and he wasn't too excited about being up there. He goes, okay, Dad, I see it. Let's go. So we went back down. An hour after we got back down, the power went out, and the people that were in there were up there for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And I'm glad that we were down because he would not have done well.
Yeah.
He would have not done well. And then you went to North Carolina?
Yeah.
And whereabouts? Where else on the East Coast? You said Florida, Georgia, somewhere around there?
Yeah, Florida, Texas as well.
And that's good. So you go to each town for about a week or so, and then you move on. Now, are you driving? Are you flying? How are you getting around?
So we fly to the first location because we're obviously really far away. It'd be like a pretty long drive, a couple of days. And then we drive the rest of the time, and then we fly back.
Are you in buses, or how do they get you around? 40 people, how do they get them around?
Well, we rented a car. There are buses, but me and my mom just rented a car and drove.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, are all the people performing about your age, 20 years old or so?
Yeah, a lot of them are around my age. Some will be a little younger. Some will be a little older.
Yeah.
I think most of them were actually right around my age this time, though.
What's the message you're trying to relate to these high school kids? What are you trying to tell them?
Well, for me, it's about letting people know that they're not alone. You know, that there's someone there that's felt the same things. And as an organization, the tour is just trying to promote arts in the schools. So they actually give a grant to each school. And
are you being paid for this? Are you making money?
No, not off this tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did the tour, then you came back, and then you went out again? Is that what I understand, that you've gone on a couple of tours?
Yeah, I went twice this year. So I went in the spring once. That wasn't the entire 5 weeks. It's generally a 5 to 7 week tour.
Okay.
I was there for 4 weeks the first time, and then I was there for 5 weeks this last time.
I've done some, with my stand-up comedy, I've gone out on tour there. I think the longest time I ever actually went out on the road was 3 weeks, and that could beat you up a little bit.
Yeah.
After about the third or fourth show, you're going, wow, this is fun. We got to do another show. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And especially if there's a lot of travel, it could beat you up. Did you get homesick at all, or did you want to come home at all, or halfway through going, you know, no place like home?
Yeah, I definitely missed home. I really enjoyed the experience and getting to meet all the people. So that was definitely something that kept me going, was getting to meet really nice kids day to day and talk to really nice people like teachers and stuff like that. But you definitely do get homesick. I love Washington.
It's a beautiful country up there.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah.
So after you get done with the tour, you come home, and then what do you do? Some downtime? Are you in school still, or are you done with school?
I almost have my two-year degree. I did a program called Running Start. It's basically college and high school. So I have one more class to get my two-year degree.
Okay, and where do you want to go with that degree? What do you want to do?
Well, I want to do music.
Sure you do.
If it works out that I'll continue school, I would do that. But right now, I'm just kind of working really hard on my music career.
This tour that you went on, have you stayed in touch with people that you met on tour?
Yeah, for sure. It's a really good way to network with other artists and meet other like-minded people. So, yeah, I definitely have friends that I still text.
Now, you've got a big tour coming up. We only have about 3 minutes left in this segment here, but you've got a big tour coming up. We'll try to get to that here.
Yeah.
It's called the SOS Tour. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the SOS Tour is really awesome because it's not just about music. It's about a cause. And the SOS Tour advocates for teens who might fall under peer pressure such as drinking, drugs, and sex. And it also fights against bullying and violence. And it's definitely a cause that's really close to my heart because I have a friend who committed suicide, and also my brother passed away, so I know what it's like to feel depressed and alone and sad. And so I feel like if we can reach out and help people, that just means so much.
So the tour itself, which I'm excited to be a part of it, actually I think I'll be emceeing this thing, you're gonna get tired of seeing me, but that's okay. I don't care. It was originally set up to go through California, Oregon, and Washington, and I think maybe Idaho, I'm not really sure, but now it's going to be nationwide, is that right?
Yeah, 48 continental states.
And it's going to start in March of 2020, and it's going to hit everybody, and it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Now, how many people are going to be on this tour, do we know?
I'm not sure if we know exactly how many artists are going to be on this tour yet.
And your manager, Paula, is kind of piecing this all together.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing, we have the same manager. How'd that work?
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well, and I believe there's a website, if I remember right. It's sostour.com. Is that what it is?
sostour.net.
.net. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that'll explain a little bit about it.
Yeah.
And we'll be performing up here in Oregon, I think in a couple of different cities in Oregon. And then we're going to be going up to your neck of the woods there, Washington?
Yeah. I think there's just some shows in Seattle,
And I believe, from what I understand, that we're also I told you to keep your phone quiet. Mine's ringing here. We're also going to be going into Canada a little bit later on with the tour.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun there. And what do you think you're looking to most in the tour?
Well, I'm looking forward to most.
Yeah.
Honestly, just to share my story with kids, and hopefully it can help them, you know. It's really cool because
What is your story that you want to share with people?
Basically, the story of my brother and how he inspired me, and how, you know, although there's been a lot of tough things in my life that, you know, I just look to my faith and keep going, and hopefully just to let them know that they're not alone, because that's how I felt sometimes.
We're going to take a break. It's a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest. Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. If you would like for us to come and do a live broadcast from your place of business, or if you just like chatting with us, if you think you have an interesting story that you'd love to tell, I'd love to hear from you. And it's real easy to do. You could drop me a line at terry@kslm.news. That's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, @kslm.news. And I will get back with you. And who knows, you might just be on the Terry Saul Show. I love chatting with people, hearing your story. You tell it, we'll listen. Again, send me a line at terry@kslm.news. And like always, thanks for listening to the Terry Saul Show right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are Salem's original radio station, KSLM. Welcome back to the Weekend Show with Terry Saul. Our guest today is Tristan Wood from Washington, Auburn, Washington, to be exact. Is that right, Auburn?
Yes.
Okay, Auburn, Washington, to be exact. He's a singer, songwriter, performer, and him and I are going to get real friendly here in about another year or so as we're going to be going on tour together, the SOS tour, and I'm looking forward to that. What do you think about music? How has music affected your life or changed your life?
Music has always been something that's helped me when I'm processing my thoughts and stuff. And
how has it helped you?
It's kind of helped me basically to just, I don't know, feel like I have somebody else there that has the same struggle, because a lot of the songs I listen to are about, you know, people who have gone through stuff and things like that. So I listen to the songs and I kind of, I guess, gain strength knowing that there's other people like
but
that.
But don't you think that, Tristan, we've all gone through stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Just life in general, you go through stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it's not fun. Some of it's stuff you can deal with. But, you know, you're only dealt what you can handle.
I definitely agree.
And mm-hmm. and like you said, you got to depend on your faith a lot, too.
Yeah.
Faith can pull you through an awful lot. I've lost my father, my mother, and my brother
to
cancer.
Sorry.
You got to be able to talk to the man upstairs.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And he will help you. He will help you get through it all.
Yep.
You know, he definitely will help you get through it all. How has music affected you?
Well, it's definitely allowed me to travel a lot, which has been really cool, because that's one of my lifelong goals, is to be able to travel to a lot of different places. The music industry itself has been great, because one of the great things about it is that, you know, you can use it as a vehicle to spread what you want to spread your music, to spread your message. So
if you weren't singing and playing music, what do you think you'd be doing? Flipping burgers someplace? Or what do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I'd either be a worship pastor. That's actually what I am right now. Maybe just a normal pastor, or a detective, because I watch a lot of crime television.
A detective?
Yeah.
You should have heard my show last week. I had a wild show with a former Contra Costa County police detective.
Oh, really?
And matter of fact, I'll give you the tape to listen to, because it's incredible.
Wow.
They captured the serial killer 50 years later.
And
they finally got him. It was quite a show. And if you get a chance, listen to it there.
Yeah.
So you weren't a pastor full-time. You'd want to be a detective full-time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite a range there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's always been something that appeals to me for some reason. Like, I don't know. I watched the show Criminal Minds.
That's one of our favorites.
And I just love that show. I'd want to be like a profiler if I was to do something else.
We love
in
Penelope.
Another life.
Penelope Garcia, we love her.
I know, me too. She's like my favorite character.
She is. She's so annoying, she's good.
Yep.
You know? Anyhow. So that's what you'd be doing if you weren't. I'll tell you a story off the air about that, too.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You also have this tour that we talked about, the SOS tour coming up. What are you doing in 2019? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, well, right now I'm getting ready to release my new song, Crash and Burn.
Crash and Burn.
Yes.
All right. What's that about?
That song is just kind of about the whole year that I had last year, kind of losing my brother and losing some friends and finding a way to deal with that. The title doesn't sound like that, but in the song it actually says, I don't want to crash and burn, so it makes more sense.
When did you lose your brother last year, in 2018?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When in 2018?
April.
April. Okay. So it's still pretty fresh. It's still it's still there.
Yeah.
And it will always be there. I mean, I lost my brother 2 years ago. To me, it's like yesterday. It's just like yesterday there. He's in a better place. He's in a better place,
sure.
And he's not hurting anymore either.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You got to keep that in mind. So Crash and Burn, tell me about the single of yours.
Well, it's the first one that we're going to really be advertising big, and it's kind of like our first big single. We've had singles before, but this is kind of the one that we're really trying to spread and get heard.
Is the song something that you wrote right away? I mean, or did it take a while to put this song together? Did you have pieces in the back of your mind that you thought, I'm going to put this in there, and then a few days later something else happens in your life and you're going to throw this in there? Or did you just sit down at one point and say, this is my song and I'm knocking it out?
That song I wrote it over a couple of days. I wrote part of it in the studio and I wrote part of it at home. But the message throughout it was always kind of, I've always had it planned to kind of be the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest critic?
Who's my biggest critic?
Is it the woman I met out there in the lobby?
I don't think so. I think my mom doesn't. She's not a super big critic. I'm trying to think about that one. Probably a couple of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you hard on yourself?
Well, actually, yeah. Now I might have to rethink that one. It's probably me.
Yeah. So you'll listen to something, and I mean, I remember years ago, when I first started in radio 100 years ago, before you were ever born, I would do, they called them air checks back then, and I would tape my show and then drive home and listen to it. And I'd just be thinking, why did I say that? Boy, that didn't sound good.
Yeah.
And I don't like my voice. I don't like the way I sound. But you know, you become your worst critic. And in my case, my mom was my worst critic. I could stand up on stage and have a great show, get everybody laughing, and walk off stage, and I go, "Mom, what did you think?" She goes, "Yeah, it's all right."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, got it, yeah. Got it. But I tend to be real hard on myself. Are you hard on yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with my singing, because I actually have only been singing for about 2.5 years now. It's something that I've always that I always want to work really hard on, because I want to be a good singer. That's just how I am. And, you know, especially because it's at the forefront of the music. So it's definitely something I'm really hard on myself about. And I push myself a lot to try to get better.
Do you think you're good?
I think now I am good. Yeah, I think when I started, I was okay.
Why do you think you're good now? People tell
you.
Because
I put hours into it. I put time into it. And I feel like I've worked hard at it. So.
Yeah. People tell you, hey, you're pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes.
Don't listen to them. Serious, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. When I get off stage there and people say, hey, you had a great show, you're fun. I thought, nah, you're just saying that. You're just saying that. You'll tell you're good, I think, on your recordings. This is for me, at least. You could, in your case, I'm not a singer, so I don't know that, but you'll hear your songs, and maybe 6 months, a year down the road, you'll hear it again, and you'll think, man, I'm sounding better and better and better.
Yeah.
And then one day you'll know you're good.
Yeah.
Has that day hit you yet?
I think in a way it has.
It's okay to toot your horn. It's okay to toot your horn.
But no, yeah, sometimes I always feel like there's things I can work on and things I can improve on. I think there's definitely aspects that when I hear my voice recorded now, I feel really good about. You know, there's parts I really love and there's always parts that I really want to improve on. But yeah, I feel good about where I'm at right now.
What's the hardest thing for you to do singing-wise?
Definitely falsetto.
Okay, why?
Yeah, that's definitely difficult for me.
Is it?
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure why. It's just something that I'm trying to develop more.
Right. Do you listen to people like Ed Sheeran? Or, I mean, I have a friend of mine that does, he's an Elvis tribute artist, and he listens to Elvis every day with his headphones on, and he's trying to get that sound. Do you do that? Is there somebody that you listen to that you really want to sound like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely I do listen to Ed Sheeran. I listen to John Foreman from Switchfoot. I listen also to Ryan Tedder from One Republic. And it's something I do try to emulate without being, you know, the exact same, because you never want to be the exact same as somebody else. But just listening to their technique and kind of how they approach certain words and vowels really helps me for sure.
Yeah. Who do you want to work with?
Who would I like to collaborate with?
Sure.
Oh, man.
Oh, so you're using the big words, okay? I say work with, you say collaborate.
No, I just,
okay.
Yeah, I was just
it's all right. Just, you know, I'm old. Go ahead. If you could work with anybody in the industry, anybody, who would it be? Who would you want to sit down there and just have a weekend with?
It's like a couple people, but I'd have to say Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
I do. I just love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love his work.
You know, he's in the other room.
Oh,
we
really?
Brought him in here for
sure.
Right.
Wouldn't that be
I've seen my budget. Believe me, we're not bringing him anywhere. Yeah, you think it would be him just to sing with him or?
To write a song with him. That would be awesome. Yeah.
How about to play? You're not in a band. You do this all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the opportunity to perform with someone in a band, any idea who that would be?
Oh, it'd be either, probably either One Republic or like Coldplay, maybe.
Yeah. Have you ever performed down in Los Angeles area?
Yeah, I did the House of Blues in Anaheim a couple
weeks
ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how was that?
It was really great. Yeah, I actually loved it. Yeah.
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 Big crowd?
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They throw anything at you?
No, thankfully. Well,
then you're doing good.
Yeah.
Because that could be a rough place.
Yeah.
You're doing good. Yeah. So we'll be going back down to L.A.? Because on our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about your video, which is coming out.
Yeah.
You're going down, I believe, next week to do that one.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to be doing any more other work in L.A.?
Yeah, I'll be down there definitely from time to time. I'm going to be down there for a red carpet thing next week, and then obviously for the video, and then back for some recording here at some point.
Yeah. Do you do your stuff in your home? You're recording?
No, I do with just different producers. A lot of them are out of
L.A. Up in Washington?
Usually in L.A.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you do at home? Do you
have
your own studio set up there? Or?
I do have a studio. It's not like a professional studio. I can record myself a little bit. So if I have an idea, I'll track it into my computer and I'll record it with my voice. And then I'll like send it to producers and see, you know, like, hey, what do you think of this? Is this something we could use? And then we'll go into their studio and basically, you know, do the whole song.
So do you have a list of producers that you work with down there then?
I have like about two or three producers that I work with.
Well, that's a list. So what makes you tick?
What makes you tick?
You get up in the morning and what are you doing? You're not going to school right now. What makes you tick? What keeps you going?
Man, I usually get up in the morning and say a prayer and work on music. And
do you work on music every day?
Yeah, I do work every day. And then I don't know.
Do you have hobbies?
I mean, I like to hang out with my friends.
Yeah. Are you into sports at all? Or?
Mm-hmm. I love football and basketball.
Professional football?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the Seahawks.
Okay, well, this interview's over. We're diehard Bronco fans.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the Broncos are actually my dad's favorite team.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
We went back there October 1st for a game, and that was the first time they got their butts kicked. They had a rough season this year.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, it really is a rough season, but anyhow. All righty, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this video you have coming up, and we're also going to lay out your SOS tour, your website, and Facebook, and Twitter. You have all kinds of different things people can get a hold of you. Is that right?
Yes.
All righty. We're taking a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Again, we're just getting warmed up here. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM. We are also on 1220 AM KSLM, Salem's original radio station. And you can hear us each and every weekend, Saturdays at 10 o'clock and Sundays at 11 o'clock right here on KSLM. Back in a moment.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1. You're on.
We are back with today's guest, Tristan Wood from Auburn, Washington, with our final few minutes here on the Terry Saul Show. And he is 20 years old. He's a performer. He writes music. He sings music. He plays his own instruments. How many instruments do you play?
Well, I play the guitar and the acoustic guitar well. And I play piano a little bit, the drums a little bit, and then also the bass guitar. I found out not very well on my last recording because I had to do a bunch of takes. And he was like,
somebody told you that, right?
No,
you suck, man.
No, he was like, no, you're doing good. And I was like, dude, we've done 10 takes. It's just not going well.
What made you get started with the drums? I love the drums.
Well, actually, my brother played the drums first, and I just love the sound of the drums. I just started. I don't play them well. I play them in my room. Sometimes I'll play along with some songs that I like, but I've played them live one time with a band, so I can play with people. I would never attempt it on a big stage, but I just love the sound of it. I love how it complements songs and how it can take a song that's maybe not a hit song and turn it into a hit song.
The drums are everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
The drums are everything. If you've got a good drummer, he's pulling that song along.
Absolutely.
And if you have a bad drummer like moi, forget it. Get off the stage.
Yeah, that's very true.
Now, how long have you been playing drums?
Well, I off and on for a lot of years. It's not something that I like actively practice all the time, but I probably started kind of dinking around on it like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Years ago, when we were just young kids, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, we came up to visit my cousin up here in Oregon, and he had a set of drums. And my mom used to play the drums in her high school band back 100 years ago. She got up one morning about 6:30 in the morning and got a hold of those drums and woke the entire house up in about 2 minutes.
Oh, man.
But she just loved the drums. And I always have liked the drums. Am I good at them? No, not at all. But there's just something about the drums.
Absolutely, I agree. You know? Mm-hmm.
Drummers are cool because they never pay attention. Have you noticed that? When you're playing the drums, you look at the drummer there,
yeah.
He's looking everywhere but where he should be looking.
Exactly.
And
he's
it's like,
head
pay attention.
And like,
yeah. They're in their own little world. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're hitting. If they hit the cymbal, okay, they got lucky. You know? They hit the cymbal.
I know it's amazing to me how they're like not looking at anything, but they're hitting all these different things and stuff.
And I've seen drummers lose their stick, and they just reach down and pick up another stick, and they just keep on going. I thought,
yeah,
man, you people, you're not normal. You're just not normal. So drums, you said the piano. How you do it on the piano?
The piano, again, I wouldn't attempt it live, but I do actually love to write songs on the piano because I just think it sounds so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes I'll write songs on piano, and I've learned a few songs on piano. Yeah, I wouldn't play it live.
Not yet.
One day, right. Hopefully.
Are your parents pretty supportive? For you?
Yeah.
I mean, they encourage you quite a bit.
Yeah.
I know
great.
I met your mom just a few minutes ago here briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But are they pushing you and say, yeah, if this is what you want, go for it?
Yeah, absolutely. They supported me every step of the way.
You know your manager's crazy.
Oh no. She's great. Mm-hmm. We love her.
We have the same manager. We both have Paula, and she'll drive me crazy. And I'll tell her that, and then she'll tell me a few things. But she's put together this big tour that you and I both have coming up here. It's called the SOS Tour, and it's going to be kicking off in March of next year, 2020. And like I say, originally it was planned on going to just a few cities in a couple of states, and now it's going to hit all 48 contiguous United States, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
Do you know how many songs you're going to be doing, and do you know what they are yet? Are you going to write songs for this tour? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing two songs, and then probably Crash and Burn and one other song that we'll decide. And then all the artists are going to be sharing a brief story about how they've overcome hardship in their life, just kind of trying to reach out to the youth.
I'll be interviewing you on stage.
Yeah.
So if if you're not nice to me, I'm gonna ask you some rough questions.
All right.
Yeah. Now you have this new song that's coming out, and next week I believe it is, you're going down to LA to put a video together?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how'd that come about?
Yeah, so basically, Paul put us in contact with some good people to do a video, and we're heading down there next week, and it's going to be a three-day shoot, and we're going to have a couple different locations. It's actually my first time doing a big music video like this, but I'm getting super excited for it.
Now, when you do a video for the song, is the video exactly the same length as the song? I mean, how does that work? How do you piece the video together?
Well, it could be exactly the same length, or it could be a little bit longer even. It could have like a little story before the video starts. We're not entirely sure what we're going to do yet. Most likely, ours is going to be exactly the length of the song, and it's just going to basically tell a story.
Okay, and the story is, again, about?
Yeah, just about my year, you know, losing my brother, losing some friends, and it's going to be mixed together with some stuff hopefully, you know, people can relate to, and, you know, some cool cinematic shots. It's basically going to be like a short film.
Whereabouts in LA you're going to be shooting? Any idea yet? Which are you looking for famous landmarks? Are you just going to be...
Yeah, possibly. We might be looking for some famous landmarks. We're not completely sure we're going to shoot yet, but we were thinking like maybe in the Malibu area for one of the locations.
Yeah, that's a good area down there.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. If it's not on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be next week. Now, when will that be released?
The video, we don't have a release date yet. We're going to be shooting it, like I said. And then we're going to be working on a release date. It should be out within the month, though.
All right.
Yeah.
And your current song that's going to be released, when is that going to be released?
It'll be released January 4th on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, pretty much any streaming site that you can think of.
They don't sell records anymore. Do you know what a record is?
Oh, I do. I do.
They don't sell those anymore?
I know. I mean, they do, but just not
so,
as many.
So songs are now released online? Is that pretty much how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. Most music, you know, is like mostly sold online.
Right. If there was one thing that you could say your career is complete, what would that one thing be?
Well, I'd love to play at Wembley Stadium one day.
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Yeah. I would love to do that. I also love to like have my own tour one day, do my own tour. Yeah. And maybe tour in a different country, because I'd love to go to a different country.
Can I tell you a trick?
Yeah.
I played the Greek Theater before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yeah. We were down there in L.A., and we had a day off, and we went to the Greek Theater because I wanted to see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Nobody there. Walked in there, and I told my wife, I says, you know, I could play this theater. And she goes, shut up, you cannot. And nobody in the building jumped up on the stage, and I did two of my jokes. And I told her, I said, I now play the Greek Theater.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, there's nobody here.
Nice.
And I go, it doesn't matter. I didn't say I was played in front of a full house. I said I played the Greek Theater.
Yeah, there
so
you
here's
go.
What you do.
Right?
You go to Wembley Stadium there, and you just go out there, and you do a couple of jokes
Hop up on the stage. Yeah.
I'm sorry, in your case, and you've played it. You perform there.
Yeah, you can check it off the bucket list.
Yeah, that's it. You don't have to tell anybody if there's nobody in the audience. No, I won't tell. Well, I might. And so that's the one thing that you want to do. You want to go on tour there. And
Where do you want
to see yourself in 5 years? When you're 25 years old, where do you want to see yourself?
Making music, hopefully. Yeah. Making music and touring and just kind of working on that and spreading that. Yeah.
Are you looking for to settle down with the family or anything, or children, wife?
Oh, definitely someday. I think right now with my schedule it'd be a little hard, but
sure.
If I find somebody that wants to travel and wants to, you know, do all that stuff, then yeah.
And they must like music.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. You want some children too, you think?
Yeah, definitely one day. Yeah.
Yeah. How many?
Maybe two.
There you go. All righty. Well, let's talk real quickly because we only have about a minute and a half left. Your website is where?
Well, actually, we're still working on getting the website out, but you could find me on Instagram at Tristan Wood Official, YouTube, Tristan Wood Official, Twitter, Tristan Wood 98, and Facebook, Tristan Wood Music.
Basically Tristan Wood.
It's basically Tristan Wood, yeah.
All right. And on Facebook, you said you're where?
Tristan Wood Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if people would like to get in touch with you, that's the best way. If they would like to get in touch with you as far as bookings, you do travel. You'll take care of that. But they would just need to do is just give us a holler here at the radio station. person, and we'll get them in touch with your manager, Paula.
Yeah.
And we could set that up there. Listen, I wish you the best of luck, my friend.
Thanks
for making that trip down there. I know it was a little bit of a long drive, and
are you
turning around heading back now?
Yep.
Pretty much?
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on down, and we wish you the best of luck. And next time you're in the area, you stop by. When the song is released, would you do me a favor and let me know? And we can get it and put this on the air, too?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Tristan. Tristan Wood has been our guest. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. And remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 o'clock, every Sunday at 11 o'clock, right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. See you next time. Bye-bye.
If you would like us to come to your business for a broadcast, drop us a line at terry at 1220.am or catch me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Terry Saul. A big thank you to our special guest, and we will be back next week and do this all over again at 10 a.m. on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Have a great and safe week. Today's show was produced by Leon J. Tacky, and it goes without saying this has been a Tacky production.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.